Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. We have just about a full house in studio. We're only missing one today. Mr. Cleaver's not here.
He is not, but we're going to have a great guest to fill in the spot.
Yes, we are. We've got Tom Huynh from Tom Huynh University Fishing, and we're going to talk a little Vexus Boats. Of course, we have the Northwest Sports Show coming up, so that's going to be part of it, and some cool stories and more, so you're going to want to stick around. Hang tight.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be seen, as always.
Of course. And, of course, Mr. Cleaver, he's not here, so the show will fly by.
He's going to be real busy the next few weeks, so we'll see. We'll try and get some participation, but
I think it won't be happening. Next week's the...
You know what?
Next week's a sports show. Northwest Sports Show going on in Minneapolis.
We might have to have a conversation with him when he gets
might
back.
Have to. I'm sorry, but might have to do that.
No, he's fine. He's not in any trouble. Everybody, it's okay.
Well, and then I get grief when I'm gone and I'm working and he's retired. How does that work?
He's working more than you and I combined.
Not a chance. Not even, no. I know what you do and there's no way that that's even possible.
Yeah, I do a lot.
I'm not saying anything about me, but
you
I'm
do
just
a
saying.
Lot. We all do a lot.
Yeah. So Don needs to pick up the pace.
Okay.
There's the gauntlet's been thrown.
Yeah, got it.
We do have a good show today.
The weak link.
Exactly. Tom Huynh from Angler University, he'll be joining us. We're going to talk a little Vexus. We'll talk a little Fishing University. We'll talk a little fishing in general. So a lot of things going on there. Also, you know, there's been obviously a lot of talk in the world and political arena with money being spent with the Doge thing and everything, right? So I'm just going to throw my two cents in on something that I came across today that I thought, why are we spending money on this particular thing? And this is just from my perspective. If you have an opinion, you can certainly, what is it, info@thevalleyoutdoors.com?
You'll find it online.
Yeah.
Just make a comment,
send a comment to us. So this is what it is. Jump right into this. There is a sea grant modeling that's taking aim at predicting ice out on Minnesota lakes. There's actually money being spent to figure out when ice out is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. Following the March 3rd ice house removal date for two-thirds of Minnesota, many anglers have their eyes set on the open water and waiting for ice to crack up. Coming back online with a few modifications, Minnesota Sea Grant's Lake Ice Out Clock will help outdoor recreators and business owners better nail down when the ice will clear off the lake that they're interested in. Knowing when you can get out here, how long the season is going to be, when does it start, When does it stop? It's just murder for businesses trying to serve those who are getting out there, says John Downing, of the director of Minnesota Sea Grant. Okay. You know what? This, in my opinion, is absolutely like forecasting the weather. Why are you? I mean, it's nice because you can figure out when you can go outside, but because you can't predict everything, you have to go out and besides, so what? I don't think it's any big deal when you spend how much money. And I have to research how much money was being spent on this, but my feeling is, why? It doesn't affect businesses that once the safe ice is unsafe, they just have to wait. There's nothing you can do.
Sure.
I just see no reason that they need to try and figure out and spend all the money. However, it's going to be a ridiculous amount of money to try to figure out, oh, because businesses are relying on what? That's my take on it. Now, of course, check us out, you know, send us some responses. I am more than welcome to if you feel it's important to know, but I will tell you, everything is up to Mother Nature and what she's doing. It's not going to be something you're going to be predicting long term. Prime example, if we have another heavy snowstorm like we had last week, it'll dramatically change everything. Within a 1 week period, it could go from, oh, this is awesome, to, and we're going to be out in a week, to,
oh, 60s, hey, almost.
Groundhog, yeah, Punxsutawney Phil just saw a shadow. He's going for another 6 weeks. So that's the kind of thing that I just don't see why it's important to spend the money on. I spend any amount of money on it. It's some of these things that come out. And again, it's my take. I figured I'd jump in on the Doge kind of topic, but involving the outdoors and everything that we know, because people do like to know, okay, it's great. When's the ice going to go out? We all know it'll go out when it goes out. Every lake is going to be slightly different. Oh, I'm sorry. We had unpredicted winds of 40 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the east side of Lake Mille Lacs is all piled up with ice. The main lake's open, and the eastern shore launch ramps are good to go. So what?
I don't know. Maybe events. It might have something to do, like ice fishing contests, or like a boat contest.
You're never going to have one of those in March.
Yeah, there is one coming up in March.
I'm sorry, not March. April.
Because okay. Ice out
doesn't
say.
It doesn't happen. It's going to be in April for the most part. But again, so what? I mean, why? I don't get it. It makes no sense.
I would be surprised if an event was scheduled on the ice in April. I think everybody knows mid March so
it's going to go away.
Any
and direction. It's unsafe after a certain period. But why? I mean, they're spending the time and effort and dollars to go do something like that, I think is absolutely ludicrous. I really do. And again, that's just my personal opinion and my take.
That's where you see the money being wasted.
I do. I do. I see it being thrown out for other things that could be much more important. And hey, send us some responses. If you feel
if you have
that.
A good reason.
Yeah. Give
why?
Us some. Well, you know. Good reason
mine
for
was
you
events,
believe,
but that's it.
And you believe in what I'm saying, or you don't. Hey, let's get some dialogue out there. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Thanks for hanging in there with us, guys. And of course, we always like to have you check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. And you can find anything you want on our page, TheValleyOutdoors.com. Anywhere you want to go, you can punch it up with the interactive United States directory. Click and learn, right? Isn't that the way that goes?
We are on the World Wide Web.
www.
And we've got it all for you there.
We do. We definitely do. Speaking of who else we have that's got it all going on, Mr. Tom Wynn. He is the owner of Tom Wynn Universities. He's also a Vexus ambassador and lecturer and professional fisherman on the walleye tour. In fact, Tom, didn't you win some big event last year?
Yeah, I happened to win my first National Walleye Tour event, and it was at a good time because it was at the championship. So I'll take it.
That's always a good thing to win. I will tell you that right now. Speaking, it's just winning for win, right? Is that how it works?
So, yep.
Wins,
yeah,
winning.
Yeah.
Yep. No, that's awesome. And of course, that's a tour that I have been fishing, and I've just taken some time off with work going on, and so it's definitely something that gets the most out of everybody and puts the best of the best out there on the water. So pretty cool deal. So yep. Speaking of best of the best, you're doing some university stuff. Where are you at right now?
Well, I am doing a weekend again at seminars. I'm in Fargo. So
perfect. Fargo's
not very far from home, but this is
Fargo Dome.
Mini stops. Yep.
Cool. Very cool. Well, you're up there doing lectures there. Are you going to be at the Northwest show next week?
I'm not. I'll be at the Sioux Falls show.
My. There's not enough shows going on at this time of year.
They're all over the place. Yeah.
I will be at the show next week. And if somebody wants to come down, they can find me in the River Valley booth. But we'll be out there doing the shaking hands and kissing babies and whatever else goes on with that. But let's jump into it. I guess the one of the big things, obviously, in the fishing side of it, the championship last year was where?
The championship was in it was on Lake Huron out of Michigan, yep. And that's pretty much the ocean.
yeah, know it well. Mm-hmm. And what was the technique you were using?
Well, I was it was crazy. Like it. I had to learn the migration of those fish in that short practice period, and just get ahead of them. And that's what I did. And then, so, the way I ended up catching them was, on a jig, pitching jigs. And I caught three on a reactionary style bait. But other than that, you know, it's my black tungsten Northland jig, either followed by a plastic or a crawler or whatever they want to bite that day.
Nice. Well, I know that's been a fishery I've really enjoyed fishing up there as well. And of course, it could be a trolling bite. It can be a rip and wrap. A lot of times it's been rip and wraps over the years, jig and wraps, that kind of thing. And pretty intense fishery and a lot of big water. I mean, massive water. And the conditions can go south there really, really quick. And that's one of the things over the years that I've fished the tour. You find that, well, let's put it this way. I started out fishing a tour. I was 6'2", and now I'm only 5'9". So, you know, it's that wave compression that really really makes an impact on your body and your stature. But I guess the big thing is you've got the waves, you've got a lot of conditions, and you've got to go a long way to get to those fish many times. I mean, how far did you have to go?
I had to go about 35, 40 miles, and, you know, it was – brutal conditions. I've only been fishing on this level for the last 3 or 4 years, but I'm fishing against the guys who've been doing it for over 20. And they even said most of them said that was the worst conditions from practice all the way through the tournament they've ever seen. But, you know, it's, you have to take it easy. Like you said, your body's one thing. Like I'm 45 years old now, so I'm starting to feel it a little bit, but, I'm just glad I have a boat that can take it, you know?
Well, and that's, Tom, that's the kind of where I'm going with it. You know, I've run another brand for a number of years, and we had to virtually pull the windshields apart and Loctite the screws back together. And even then you weren't guaranteed it was going to stay. And one of the big differences when I switched to Vexus was, you know, when you're fishing big water, you're not having those issues. And that's really a point where you come across it. You're like, okay, what's one of the big issues that you find as a professional angler that you have to deal with? And that's really keeping the boat together, but yet pushing it hard enough where you need to get that extra time. And that's one of the things they really do bring to the table. I mean, your big takeaway, maybe the same thing. What else did you notice in that type of a scenario that was good for you?
As far as the boat?
Yeah. Well, as far as, the, you know, getting there, I mean, how big were the waves? 5 footers, 4 footer, 4, 5 footers?
Yeah. It was between 3 and 5s. And the way they're spaced out there was just crazy. And So it's just basically riding the waves. I found too, you know, that, you know, Vexus boats, they come with, those airwave seats. That's huge. That's really good on the back. But then also, what I have, which a lot of anglers don't have, is, what do you call it? A hot foot.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. So the hot foot is, a throttle. Basically you use it like your,
accelerator in your car,
like your car. Yeah. And then, so with that, I'm able to accelerate up and down those waves on the fly with both hands on the wheel. So I really like that in the rough water like that. But it took me a good over an hour to get that far.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And that's actually moving pretty good. You know, one of the things that really comes up in that side of the fence, even though you're a professional angler, it's a different world, but you're not going to get in a situation where, hey, every time you go out, it's going to be perfect. But I will say this, one of the things that's different, and it was from my previous brand, it was significant, is how much different the boat rides. If you get a 20-foot boat, it rides like a 22-foot boat, without question. The 19 rides like a 20 of any other brand. It's a matter of how that hull splits the wave and how easy it is to drive in rough water. I mean, your fatigue was significantly less, I suspect.
Yeah, it was. It was way better. After a week of it, though, you're done, you know?
Trust me. I get what a lot of people don't know is when you go to a tournament, the tournament may be 2 days, but you're there for 6 days, usually pre-fishing and trying to find these fish, and you're having to go out and battle the wind, the waves, the cold or the warm, depending on what it might be for that day, and really trying to get, when it comes down to it, your body to wake up in the morning and want to go out to go fishing. I know it sounds like it sounds dumb, but when you're at that level and you know that the water's going to be rough, you got to hope that you can get back out there and not hurt, because ibuprofen sometimes is a good thing to have handy. And that's one of the things that changes when you get a boat, even in recreational angler-wise, you feel more comfortable when you can go out and fish when those fish are actually biting in those windier conditions.
Yeah, you got to be comfortable. And like you said, there's many times I just want to keep turning my alarm clock off, especially when I know it's that going to be that brutal out there. But
you mean when you hear the wind whistling through the trees and outside the door, and you're like, and you hear the window start to rattle, you're like, you don't want to go out there.
Well, that, or if you're on the Great Lakes, you know, and you literally, if you're staying lakeshore by chance, or even a block from the lake, and you can hear waves crashing like you're in Hawaii or something, then but there we are, you know, we're out there. I used to think a 10-mile run, just 4 or 5 years ago, if somebody told me I'm going to have to drive 10 miles to a fishing spot, I would have been intimidated by that. Now it's whatever, you know?
Well, I know that one of the tournaments we had out in Sakakawea, it was the year I took second for Angler of the Year. We had an 86-mile one-way run and caught my fish and then drove back 30 miles at the maximum, the speed that I could drive that I get the maximum fuel economy, because it was that close. And, you know, you run that distance, you have to hope that you don't have rough water. Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle to get there, because 86 miles, I don't care what anybody thinks, that's one way, wide open throttle. It was that particular, the 2 days we were able to run. So it really, so you have the latitude. You know, you've got the rough water capabilities. That's one of the things that they really have designed with Randy Hopper and the crew at Vexus, that you've got the rough water nailed down. You can absolutely be comfortable riding. You feel comfortable in the boat. You don't have those hard jolting impacts where it feels like you're going to drop your fillings out. But the speed is the other thing that you're able to have as well. And that's a big, big thing. I mean, you probably have seen the same thing.
It's huge. And not to worry about the boat, and just being down there in Arkansas in the factory to be able to see how they actually build their boats. It's impressive seeing that most of it, that injection molding,
the vacuum bag
means you,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The vacuum bag. And it's one, almost just one piece they injection mold their compartments, their lid. It's really impressive how they do that. And then, you know, when you hit a wave, it could be a 2-foot wave, even, all you hear is that thud. You don't hear the vibration and the rattling, and that's peace of mind when we're out there making those big runs.
Well, and I know speed-wise, too, as far as the speed translation for horsepower, they do a great job. So, I mean, there's a lot of speed freaks out there, but nonetheless, you know, you have very seldom times you're able to actually go really fast, but they have done a great job in designing the boats to really get that speed of the boat as well up pretty much at the top of the industry, which is obviously a cool thing. The other thing, this sounds really dumb. The glove compartment, I don't know if you've had other boats where the glove compartment has fallen apart, but...
All the time, yeah.
It's the most...
I haven't had experience with too many brands of boats, but yes. And I see it on the tour all the time. Guys come in, you know, and their doors flapping, or the whole insert is coming out.
Exactly. And I know it sounds really kind of a crazy, stupid thing, but there's certain things that you always look at. And it really what it comes down to is it's the plastic. And the plastic, I can't stand it. And that's one of the things that they've also done. They've changed to plastic. They don't have plastic on that boat. The trim is all a metal of some type, whether it's aluminum or, yep, you know, of extrusion type. And
the only plastic is the rod tubes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you can't beat that, and you know, as far as the capabilities, and so I think that's a big thing. The other thing I found was too, you were doing a jig pitching, and at the angle you get to with that hull, it's pretty awesome, and the drifting speed,
yes,
it does drift very, very accurately, and that's one of the things that you find a lot of times it's very difficult to have is a solid drift speed. And the capability, yep, to be stable at that trolling speed, and that's one of the things I was really pretty excited about. But back to the bag, how they mold the boat. You know, when you look at it, performance wise, when I was with an engine company, we were worried. You know, people, my boat only goes this fast; it must be your motor. And we go weigh the boat, and the boat was 400 and some pounds. 410 was the most we had seen difference from one boat to the other. And it's like, hey, it's not the motor. The boat weighs 410 pounds more. And that's, mm-hmm, one of the cool things that I found with Vexus was with the way that they do the bag, they know the amount of resin that goes in. They put the vacuum on it. It pulls that exact amount of resin into the mold. And every boat is within 2 pounds, maybe 3 pounds of each other when they, from the same model, when they make those boats. It's crazy. I mean, you think about it. Your performance is going to be consistent. Your mold of the hull is going to be consistent. You don't have a heavy spot. You don't have the bow being super heavy and somebody got happy because they had a bad Monday or bad weekend watching football and their team lost. You know what I mean? So it's, hey, when was your bow built? It was built after
after the Chiefs lost.
Yeah, exactly. The Chiefs lost, and that's not good. So, but
you down know, there would be the Razorbacks losing.
Exactly. But, and you know, so those are the things that do make a difference, and it's those things. The live well itself. I mean, a lot of people, you know, may or may not use the live well, but the live well is super cool. You know, having the ability to fill that thing all the way to the top and not have it slosh and beat up the fish is pretty crazy. I thought that was one of the most unique things that they had. What's your take on that whole live well system?
I like the live well system. So like they that clear glass top, you know, that intensive care setting, it does. It fills that water all the way to the surface so that when you're making a rough run across the water and you have a fish in your live well, they're not sloshing. Like you said, they're staying pretty stagnant and suspended in there. And one thing that I used it for, though, in the championship, even though I was standing on the bow of the boat casting at fish, it was like a washing machine down there. It was like 3-footers, 4-footers, but the waves were coming from every single direction on that area of the lake. And after I put my first fish or two in the live well, I could literally hear them hitting the walls of the live well. So I actually used my intensive care out there on and off every 20 minutes. So that intensive care, you don't want to use it all throughout the day. You only want to use it on runs, on your long runs. But I used it then on and off because if you just use it on all the time, that water is heating up because of that pump is constantly
pushing,
running. Yes, and it can kill your fish potentially. So.
Yep.
I love that feature to keep them alive if you're attentive and using it correctly.
Yep. And of course you can add ice as well, and they've got the oxygenator in there as well. So there's a lot of cool stuff that goes on. But yeah, it's a matter of boat control as well, with the very, very almost blueprinted chines on the hull really give it a good track. So when you're trolling crossways in a wind, it's a big thing, and pretty doggone cool. Well, tell you what, we're already at the end of our time together, which is kind of a scary thing. I got to tell you, Tom, they can check you out. We're going to put your link on our website. It's a Tom Wynn Universities. They can check you out there. You can sign up to do classes there. And of course with Vexus Boats, and you can have any questions, you certainly post them there or send it to us and we will forward it to Tom as well. So Tom, thanks for joining us, man. Good luck, and good luck with the seminar series and the boat shows.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
You betcha, Tom. Be good. All right. And that is a wrap, everybody. Thanks for joining us at The Valley Outdoors. And for Ava, myself, Eric, we are out. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend in the outdoors. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.